Reconnect and heal today. Welcome to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf.
Everybody, and welcome to Love Never Dies Radio on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network that broadcasts in over 200 countries. And Dr. Turndorf, turn on the love on Binge Networks TV. We are not going live today on YouTube at my own request because the last show was censored and removed from YouTube. The whole notion of freedom of speech seems to be gone in our world today. So I would rather have us be on these other networks and speak freely, which is what we're going to do today. We're talking about the neurotransmitter oxytocin, which is our life-saving love hormone, our happy feel-good hormone with similar properties to endorphins, which are the opiate chemicals that relieve pain. And its lack is associated with anxiety and depression. And during these really difficult times when we're being told to socially distance and cover our faces and avoid human contact, we're seeing a dramatic rise in mental illness, despair, and suicide. So today, we're going to talk about how to stimulate oxytocin release naturally and how to get back on top of your game and live longer too. My guest today, you know well, Sandy Sanderson, founder and CEO of Electromagnesium Skin and Muscle Care Products. She has a Bachelor of Arts degree with a specialty in marketing and business. And she herself suffered chronic stress from deadlines, and she developed severe heart arrhythmias and a health crisis that she resolved with transdermal magnesium. And this led her to the development of a natural magnesium delivery system with products for all ages and conditions. So without further ado, welcome Sandy.
Oh, hello, Jamie. Thank you for having me on your wonderful show. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you. So this topic of oxytocin is so important now during the holidays. You know, so many of my patients are depressed. They can't see their family. They have to socially distance. So this is a really important topic for what we can do to raise our oxytocin. How can we tell if our oxytocin is low? So let's just dive right in.
Yes. So I wanted to begin with a few statistics. And when I went looking, I couldn't find really up-to-date ones for USA, but I did find some for Australia. So they pretty track pretty well the same, the two countries. So in Australia, according to the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare, so that's a government agency, the volume of mental health-related prescriptions that doctors write spiked in March 2020 when COVID-19 restrictions were first introduced, followed by a dip in April 2020. So I find that interesting. From mid-May 2020 to early August 2021, weekly volume tracked above the same week 1 year prior. So in other words, the number of prescriptions for anxiety-related drugs increased in 2021 compared to 2022, when we had all of the COVID breaking out and you know, the lot of fear mongering. But 2021 is recorded as having dispensed more medications. And then 4 weeks to 19th of September this year, which is not too far away, Lifeline, which in Australia is a charity organisation that's online 24/7. So if you have a problem and you're distressed, you can call them and talk to a social worker. Lifeline saw several historical record high daily call volumes. So historical record, I mean, they are decades old, that organisation, and it was a historical high daily call volumes. 96,273 calls were offered in total, which is up 14.1% and 33.1% from the same periods in 2020 and 2019, respectively. So each year it's tracking up. And Kids Helpline, where children can call, they were up 4.6% and 16.7% from the same periods in 2020 and 2019, respectively. So you can clearly see that all these help agencies are really under huge pressure to try and help and alleviate stress in the community, stress and anxiety, and this year more particularly. So a lot of the reasons are because the lockdowns that they snap on people, they're very unpredictable. You can't plan anything. So there's lockdowns with more predictable restrictions, there's border closures. So if you plan to go and travel somewhere, either business or pleasure or whatever, visit family, and you make your arrangements, your airfare, your accommodation, and suddenly, boom, the borders close and you can't, people then have to cancel everything. They don't get all their money back because if they leave, they can't necessarily come back into their state that they leave from, or they have to come back in and quarantine for 2 weeks in a hotel. So you're down $3,000 later. And so that's a lot of stress for people. There's fear of massive fines now coming in. So it's similar in Austria. They're going to introduce fines for not showing your vaccine passport. And there are also social retributions and persecutions because certain people in the community really buy into this story. And they end up being the policemen and, you know, pointing fingers and saying horrible things to other people who are not wearing their masks. So I find it really a weird social experiment in a way. That's going on all around us. We're in it. We are the lab rats. And then there is threats of apartheid. So that's the segregation where the unvaxxed won't even call it that, because I don't think, you know, and scientists agree all over the world, the independent ones, it's not actually a vaccine. It doesn't satisfy the definition of what it is because it doesn't prevent the disease. It doesn't stop you passing it on, and it loses its efficacy if it ever had any over just a few months. So it really does diddly squat. The uncompromised, I'll call them the uncompromised, they're having a better record of recovering from COVID, and there's less of them in hospitals with COVID compared to the jabbed population. So that's the latest statistics coming out. And it causes a lot of stress because there's loss of businesses. So last year, why we had that little bit of a dip in the stress level in the beginning of the COVID fiasco was they were offering helicopter money to everyone, and often they were getting more money than they had been getting in their jobs just to sit at home and have a holiday. And you know, that took the stress away from a lot of people. They thought, you beauty. But of course, these things don't last, and the helicopter money doesn't last. You know, when you get some money from the government, just, you know, a few hundred here and a few hundred there, and it feels like, you know, it's you can relax, but it's a false sense of security. So now the reality that the S is hitting the fan, and people are realizing that their restrictions are closing down businesses, especially small to medium businesses are being targeted in the hospitality industry. So I live on the Gold Coast, which is a big area. It's like Miami, Florida. It's where all the tourists go. It's got nice weather, lots of hotels, and you know, places for kids to go and fun parks. And so the whole economy here relies on tourists coming here, and it's been very difficult for businesses. And so then the people they employ are also finding a difficulty with job security. There are financial pressures, and the rents have gone up through the roof. They're now three times higher than they were just 2 years ago. So there's a lot of emotional, psychological consequences of all these policies without any proof they're doing any good. And, you know, we hear from many sources that the statistics reported on mainstream media are being fiddled with. They're not accurate. So one has to do quite a bit of digging to find out what's really going on. But anyway, what I wanted to cover was, you know, how can we do things naturally at home? How can we strengthen our systems? Because chronic stress and the intermittent stress where things are unpredictable is really horrible to deal with. There's no groove you can settle into. It's like you constantly have to be on your toes, looking over your shoulder. What are the rules going to be today? And are they different to yesterday? It's a really awful, stressful situation to be in where nothing is predictable. So that kind of chronic stress causes a weakening of the immune system, funnily enough. So if your immune system isn't strong, you're going to catch anything that's going around. And the sicker people get, the more disease symptoms they have, the more they start to spread. So you're really dampening down the immune system of a whole community with these kinds of restrictions and lockdowns and deprivation of liberty. You know, it's like putting everyone in a cage and isolating them. You know, social distancing and the masks is like putting them into, you know, punishing them when, and putting them in a prison, like they're in some kind of isolation cell. And we know from experience that that causes terrible emotional, psychological problems over time, that, you know, they can even have a mental nervous breakdown from being isolated from human contact.
And, you know, of course, I'm just thinking, when you're breathing in your own carbon monoxide or carbon dioxide, you're not getting enough oxygen. That in and of itself is enough to trigger depression and anxiety, because those two psychological conditions are associated with low oxygen states. Yes. So we're actually inducing these psychological problems by not having enough oxygen.
Makes you more fearful. Yeah, more likely to feel anxiety, stress, fear. So all of these things come about from disconnection from other human beings. And we're in a state of stress because we feel threatened, constantly threatened. And, you know, it's not even people that succumb and, you know, do decide to get the jab. And, you know, it should be a free choice. And if they choose to do that and they want it, then fine, go ahead. But I don't believe it should be imposed, because a lot of people, you know, they get anaphylaxis, or they have certain genes which make them more sensitive. They can't take the toxins. The liver can't process the toxins that are going in. All sorts of reasons why everyone's different. One T-shirt doesn't fit all. And, you know, you can kill someone by giving them injections when you haven't really assessed whether their physiology, their body, can take what you're about to put into their bloodstream. So let's look at how, you know, I'm talking to a lot of people now who are suffering from stress, and that may be the jabbed and the unjabbed, because of the lockdown situations affecting everyone. You're not free once you've got your jabs. And there are many countries now introducing a booster, third shot. And if you didn't get your first two, now you go back into the category of being the unjabbed. So, you know, there's this change in rules. You're not free.
No. So let's talk for a second. If somebody were to say, okay, look, I know I'm under stress, terrible stress. How do I know if my oxytocin is low? And there are actual symptoms of low oxytocin. So can we just take a second to describe those symptoms so people can say, oh my goodness, that's me.
Yeah. So a lack of oxytocin primarily manifests as very easy to become anxious and fearful and depressed. So it's very strongly associated with depression.
Irritability.
Yeah. Too. And we feel cut off and disconnected, and we get feelings of despair. And despair, if it builds enough, can actually lead to people committing suicide, because they just lose their motivation and their joie de vivre. They lose their joy of life.
Let me take a sec to also mention a couple of other symptoms that people might not realize are a symptom of low oxytocin, in addition to irritability. This is a very unusual one. It's an inability to feel affectionate. Apparently, that is very symptomatic of low oxytocin. And also, there was this study conducted at the University of Cardiff in the United Kingdom with 13 participants, all of whom had autism. And what they found was that when they inhaled oxytocin, they had stronger interactions and were more socially cooperative, had greater feelings of trust. So the antithesis of this is low empathy. When you have low oxytocin, you feel low empathy for other people. It was remarkable. Right.
Yes, so disconnection. So when you have oxytocin, you're more likely to feel connected, and there's, what do you call it in psychology, the sense of I, me, and them. You can put yourself into other people's shoes and you identify with them. And if they've got a pain, you feel, you know, like even maybe you've got that pain or similar, you feel sorry for them. And, Yes, and that sense of connection. Now, you mentioned autism. So there's been quite a few studies in that area with oxytocin. First of all, just let me mention that the oral doses are not very effective because the stomach acid destroys it. So they've been using via injection or inhalation. So inhalation is the least interference.
Right.
So they've been finding very positive results to help people with autism because they suspect whether it's via some kind of damage or genes. They're not even quite sure if it's epigenetic or it's some kind of damage that occurs environmentally. But for whatever reason, the mechanism that sends messages to your brain to release the oxygen, to produce and release it, there's something wrong with that system, with that mechanism. And, you know, people with autism, anyone on the spectrum, they're all humans. They all need love and they all need to feel connected. And this is a misperception a lot of people in the community have, that they don't have it. They don't have the need, but they do have the need. It's just that they're so super sensitive that a very light touch is just enough. And I don't see them as a separate spectrum. I think we're all on one spectrum. It's just people with autism are a little bit more on one end of the population spectrum. So you're either more and more and more autistic or less and less and less autistic on that one population spectrum. So they're not actually separate, and they have all the same needs and desires and wants and health issues that sort of the middle range of the population have, but they're just more sensitive. So they're the canaries in the mine shaft. So they can't take as much stress, they can't take as much stimulation, and they just need like a softer approach to everything, but they should never be discarded and thought of as like a robot or something. They have mechanisms where they shut down to protect their inner emotions because they're so emotional. And you know when they go into a very stressed state, it's like a catatonic state, they freeze because that's an automatic protective mechanism. You know, if you're in a car accident or something traumatic happens, any human being can go into that kind of shock where everything freezes and you feel like things are in slow motion or you feel disconnected or you're not part of it. That's part of the safety mechanism, because if you are able to absorb all the shock and trauma of what's happening around you, it might be in a battle, it might be in war, if you were able to process all that at the same time, you would be overloaded, you'd burn out your circuits. So the brain has this mechanism to cut off from the pain. You know, people in a shark attack, for instance, don't even feel they've lost a leg because right. They're so much in shock. Mm-hmm. And so to a lesser extent, people on the spectrum have the safety mechanism too that kicks in to protect them from the extremes.
Right.
And so we shouldn't assume too much. But we all need the oxytocin, believe you me.
Let me just go through a couple of more symptoms, because these are things that people don't think of. And it's important to take note of these other symptoms of low oxytocin, so you know that you're going to need help to raise it, which we're going to talk about in the second and third segments. But a couple of other symptoms are the mechanical sexual interactions and difficulty achieving orgasm, a bigger appetite and sugar craving, and feeling little joy, muscle aches, disturbed sleep. This one is so interesting. This last one, poor communication. So, you know, it's almost like there's a vicious cycle, because if you're in isolation, you have poor communication, and poor communication is also a symptom of low oxytocin.
Yeah. Well, yes. So oxytocin for us, for all mammals, actually, not just humans, it's a survival hormone for social animals. So animals that survive by sticking together with others of the same species for protection against threats or predators. So we build social relationships, and the closer our social relationships are, the more bonded we are, the more oxytocin is released, the more we feel good, we feel safe, we feel comforted, we feel loved. So it's called the love hormone because it's associated with feelings of love for others and the feeling of love when you know that they love you. So it's a two-way street. So it gives us those warm, fuzzy feelings in the heart, and you feel generous, and you feel, you just trust, and you have this wonderful feeling of well-being and happiness. You have a positive mental attitude, and you feel confident because you feel safe. It all comes down to feeling safe and feeling a sense of trust. And then that translates to everything. So you mentioned, you know, about impotence and about sexual relations. For that system to work properly, we need to have complete trust in our partner for you know, proper orgasms to happen. And particularly for women, women really need to feel in a safe space. They need to feel that they trust their partner and they're not under stress. As soon as stress goes into the brain, everything freezes.
Exactly. So, speaking of freezing, we got to freeze that thought because we got to take a break. But we'll be back in a moment on Love Never Dies Radio and Dr. Turndorf Turn on the Love.
Love Never Dies is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, also known as Dr. Love, is the number one international best-selling author of Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased. If you're grieving the loss of a loved one, tune in and find out how to reconnect and heal any unfinished business using Dr. Turndorf's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique. Visit AskDrLove.com to find out more.
Hi, it's Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Did you know all it takes is one stress, one accident, or one illness to trigger PTSD? Did you know that all the stress associated with the pandemic has created what I call the new global PTSD pandemic stress syndrome? And don't be so quick to say, I don't have PTSD, because many conditions like depression, anxiety, pain syndrome, sleep disorders, and sexual dysfunctions are actually PTSD in disguise. And don't be fooled. Even after the pandemic is behind us, your PTSD will not go away by itself. Don't despair. In my latest book, If You Think You Don't Have PTSD, Think Again, I share a simple, research-backed, drug-free remedy for reversing the global PTSD pandemic stress syndrome. This is a solution your doctor doesn't likely know about. Read If You Think You Don't Have PTSD, Think Again today and be on the road to recovery right away.
If You Think You Don't Have PTSD, Think Again became a number one international bestseller within 24 hours of its publication. Grab your copy on Amazon and find out why.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
You're listening to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you yearn to get along better with your life partner or spouse, friends, family members, and even co-workers, Dr. Turndorf's book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, Dr. Love's 10 Simple Steps to Cooling Conflict and Rekindling Your Relationship, shows you how to turn conflict into connection for a lifetime of lasting love. Find out more about Kiss Your Fights Goodbye at AskDrLove.com. This is Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. This show is for you, the listener. Once again, here's Dr. Turndorf.
Hello again. Welcome back to Love Never Dies Radio on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network and Dr. Turndorf Turn on the Love on Binge Networks TV. I'm talking with Sandy Sanderson about how we can raise our oxytocin, the love hormone. You know, Sandy, when we were in the break, I just thought about this and I thought, you know, because I was born 3 months early and I spent the first 3 months in a preemie hospital, I'm like the queen of knowing what it is to have low oxytocin, right? And somebody said to me, Your ministry to connect souls was born back then because you didn't want anyone to suffer the pain of disconnection that you were feeling. So it's so funny that all my work is about that, connecting souls on the earth plane, the spirit plane. You see, anything we can do to connect, connect, connect. And it comes out of my own personal injury, really, that I know how much we need this.
Yeah, we do. To be human, you need it. And let me just go into what actually oxytocin is. So it's made in the hypothalamus of the brain. And the pineal gland is like the conductor of the orchestra, and it regulates the messages. So the pineal gland tells the pituitary gland, so that's next in line after the hypothalamus, to release the oxytocin after certain stimuli or, you know, environmental things. So you might be, you know, cuddling someone or hugging someone, and you get a shot of oxytocin. So it's based on social contact and touch, and the more touch and hugging you have, the more you can release this wonderful hormone that makes you feel just superhuman. And you can have a massage. I highly recommend a magnesium massage, because you get magnesium can replace what you lose under stress. The magnesium is easily lost under stress, so most people walking around will be deficient these days. So mutual massages for partners, I highly recommend, because they're facing so many stresses. You know, parents have to manage finances, and there's problems with kids at the school, and they don't know how the rules are changing, and then they have to work out new plans and strategies. And so they bring home stresses, or maybe they're working from home and they're even more stressed because they haven't got enough personal space that can swing the other way. So, you know, to leave your worries behind, it works really well to just clear everything away, create a nice private space, and give each other a mutual massage. And using magnesium cream or lotion is wonderful because it relaxes all the tension away, everything like flows away. And the process of touch, because the skin is full of sensors, sending messages, and they're very pleasant messages. When you're touching and massaging, the messages go to the brain and you release the oxytocin. Making love, giving someone a hug, all of those things give us an oxytocin release.
Now, I just want to jump in here and say, because there are so many people who are single, widows, widowers, and what I've been doing is I've been using your electrotransdermal magnesium in the energetic system upgrades and in the grief relief sessions. I have people who are needing to reconnect, needing that oxytocin boost to give themselves the massage. We put it on the heart and it jumpstarts the brain and the heart. And then you reconnect with your loved ones in spirit, right? You reconnect energetically with someone you're in discord with, because it's all on the energy pipeline. And I've had many people feel the feeling of a physical reunion, like they have to smoke a cigarette. I'm being facetious, right? After these kinds of reconnections, because the chemicals are so euphoric and you feel the closeness and the connection. And I do believe the magnesium is a really important first step to jumpstart you, to prepare you. And also, magnesium puts you into the peaceful parasympathetic mode. And Sandy, I just saw a research in the Frontiers in Psychology that oxytocin is necessary to modulate the HPA axis sympathetic nervous system. So in other words, when we're under stress, and the HPA axis dysfunction kicks in, and then that's PTSD and so on, that the magnesium reverses the cascade. So I believe that you need the magnesium in order to trigger the release of the oxytocin.
Well, there are many functions for magnesium. So it's very strongly associated with controlling calcium. So calcium is the tightening mineral and magnesium is our relaxation mineral. So when we get from stress too low in magnesium, we have too much calcium floating in the system that tightens everything up and we can't relax. It's a real physical mechanical thing that happens as a result of stress. So if you can come in from the outside in, from the muscles and the skin, if you can work on that level first to relax the muscles, because people subconsciously are walking around tight as they just can't let go. And so if you're going to work on the mind, the first thing you have to do is relax your physical body, you know, and deep breathing and the meditation and all the strategies that you use work also quite well. And
in fact, Sandy, meditate, I wanted to talk in this segment and in the final segment about what we can do to literally raise our oxytocin levels, right? And, you know, you mentioned meditation and you mentioned deep breathing, but yoga.
Tai Chi, many
these things release. And here is another one that people wouldn't think of, and that is heating the body. So saunas, steam rooms, even the sun, the heat of the sun literally raises your oxytocin, right?
Yeah. Well, that's because of the infrared. And I find this myself, if I'm on the computer too long or I feel a bit stressed overworking, that's my big problem. I sometimes don't know when to stop. I have to go outside for some sunshine and I just sit there with a cup of tea and I allow the sun to just stroke me. It feels like I'm recharging my solar batteries. I put my magnesium cream on before I go in the sun,
yes,
by the way.
Before. Now, another thing that people don't think about, because, you know, somebody said to me, gosh, do I have to have a relationship? You know, he was coming off a traumatized relationship. And they're like, well, gosh, do I have to hug? Do I have to have a relationship, a romantic relationship to raise my oxytocin? No. And another thing that's very important that we forget is the self-soothing behaviors. You know, all of us have injury from our deformative years. And there's a lot that we can do to do inner child healing, soothing, healing self-talk, which is also raising oxytocin. It's like we're hugging ourselves in the way we speak to ourselves, right?
Well, I'll take you back to mother's normal instincts with children. So if a child falls over and skins the knee and they're crying, the first thing a mother would do is pick it up, cuddle it, stroke it, soothe it, nice soothing sounds, but hugging and cuddling and reassurance that the danger has passed and they're okay now, and they help, that releases in them the oxytocin and they're able to recover better from their little trauma or their accident. And children in orphanages of the past where they've done studies where they've been neglected don't thrive, they don't grow very well. And then they did experiments where they had a carer, a volunteer come in and just give cuddles every day to all the orphanage children, and the babies thrived, they grew well. So there's a direct result in wellness, well-being, growth. The growth hormones are released. Not only the oxytocin is a trigger for many other hormones associated with wellness, because we need to be happy to be well.
And but we can do it for ourselves. That's the whole idea, that you don't have to feel you're dependent on someone else. You can talk sweet, nurturing, loving language to yourself and release the oxytocin. You can,
but you know, a lot of the time when we're on a Skype or a Zoom or a phone call with someone, you know, they just need to talk to someone because something bad's happened, and you know, they call a good friend or they, you know, someone close to you. You need to just chat and get something off your chest, and a good friend will be like a little bit of a sounding board and be the mum to you and to reassure you and, well, that's all right. And they help you look on the bright side or look at things differently, because when you're in the middle of something that's going on, it's a subjective thing and you can't always see all sides. You become myopic. But someone else can give you a different kind of feedback to reposition your thoughts and your mental attitude. And that connection, that ideation, that mental connection is enough to release the oxytocin, because they make you feel back into a safe space. And that feeling of safety and trust is what triggers the release of the oxytocin. So all you need to be with someone, it helps if you've had some nice touching experiences in your past as a child, because the memory is locked in the memory. So when you do your program energetic system upgrade with people, you're tapping into their memory of their past when they had nice experience of hugging and touching.
No, actually, no, not exactly, because for so many people, there's a deficit. So they didn't have that feeling of a really wonderful experience with a parent. So in the energetic system upgrade, we're kind of connecting in a deeper way to spirit or source and filling that empty tank. And the empty tank is there because there was such a deficit during the deformative years. And, you know, this brings me to the idea of emotional communication and emotional connection. There's somebody in one of the groups I run. Everyone's very loving to her, but she's closed off because she was never treated with love and affection. She was abandoned and abused emotionally and physically. So people are trying to connect with her emotionally and love her, but she's so walled off, it's very difficult for her to even receive. And that's true for so many people who have been abused. So there's healing to be done just to be able to get to the point of being able to allow someone to come on in. You know, and I'm
that's quite extreme. Very interesting, actually. They're harder nuts to crack.
Harder nuts. But I mean, we all can be cracked because, you know, if I'm with you and, you know, and that's another thing that before we take a break, you know, when the oxytocin is low and you're more irritable, you're arguing more with the people who are close to you. And so then you become more polarized and lower in oxytocin. So this is my early work focused specifically on how to resolve your conflicts, because it's not that we don't have enough love, but the conflicts that we don't know how to resolve erode our love and our connection. And 99% of our conflicts can be resolved by just really listening, understanding, accepting responsibility, not defending the self. It's more important now than ever to perfect those skills, because otherwise your oxytocin is just going to tank. Your love literally tanks and your oxytocin tanks with it.
You need it for survival. You need now it to more than thrive.
Ever. Now more than ever. And you know, the book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, that's what Hay House republished. It was originally called Till Death Do Us Part Unless I Kill You First. That was how it was originally published in 1999. But it was sort of ahead of its time, the idea that you must focus on resolving your conflicts in being a good listener. And I mean, I take you step by step how to do it. If you don't resolve your conflicts, you can't have good oxytocin levels. Let's just take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. Hi, it's Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Did you know all it takes is one stress, one accident, or one illness to trigger PTSD? Did you know that all the stress associated with the pandemic has created what I call the new global PTSD pandemic stress syndrome? And don't be so quick to say, I don't have PTSD, because many conditions like depression, anxiety, pain syndrome, sleep disorders, and sexual dysfunctions are actually PTSD in disguise. And don't be fooled. Even after the pandemic is behind us, your PTSD will not go away by itself. Don't despair. In my latest book, If You Think You Don't Have PTSD, Think Again, I share a simple, research-backed, drug-free remedy for reversing the global PTSD pandemic stress syndrome. This is a solution your doctor doesn't likely know about. Read If You Think You Don't Have PTSD, Think Again today, and be on the road to recovery right away.
If You Think You Don't Have PTSD, Think Again became a number one international bestseller within 24 hours of its publication. Grab your copy on Amazon and find out why.
Love Never Dies is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, also known as Dr. Love, is the number one international best-selling author of Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased. If you're grieving the loss of a loved one, tune in and find out how to reconnect and heal any unfinished business using Dr. Turndorf's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique. Visit AskDrLove.com to find out more.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
You're listening to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you can't stop crying over the bodily loss of a loved one, Dr. Turndorf's number one international bestseller, Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased, will show you how to toss out the tissues and transform your grief into joy using her groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and even heal unfinished business with those in spirit without the assistance of a medium, channeler, or psychic. Sign up for Dr. Love's free newsletter at AskDrLove.com and receive an exciting gift, a free excerpt of Love Never Dies. And now, back to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf.
Hello again. Welcome back to Love Never Dies Radio on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. And Dr. Turndorf, turn on the love on Binge TV Network. Say that three times fast. We're talking about how to raise our oxytocin naturally. And we didn't finish. There's more.
Were there any other? Yeah. Yes, there's a lot more. So women release oxytocin during childbirth and also lactation. So remember, it's an analgesic and it relieves pain. So this would be a natural way for the body to mitigate the extreme pain of childbirth, just takes the edge off it. And also when women are lactating, when they're breastfeeding, it's a very pleasurable thing to do. It's really calming and relaxing. I remember I used to fall asleep during a breastfeed. My babies had to wake me up to change sides because I was in such a state of, I know, bliss, euphoria, and super relaxed. And it's just a lovely feeling. And it's the jungle juice that the hospitals give women in labor to bring a birth on if it's taking too long. So we need it for reproduction. We need it, you know, to make babies, to deliver babies, to feed babies.
Here's the little X-rated portion of the show. You can release oxytocin by stimulating your own nipples or having them stimulated.
There you go.
I'm glad we're not on YouTube. So that's the truth. That is an easy pill to swallow, right?
Yes. So that increases the bonding. So remember, it's a social hormone and it's there for a really good reason because the social species of animals need to stick together because in groups there's safety against predators, against dangers, against threats. It's funny too that men and women have a different response to the oxytocin, slightly different. So with everyone, they feel alleviation of stress and anxiety, and they feel feelings of happiness and joy and, you know, love and generosity and trust. So that's common. However, with a male, they become more defensive and more aware of potential threats. They really want to protect more their tribe or their, you know, team. Whereas women tend to be more the social glue. They focus more on the nurturing of the personal relationships within the group. So they have a little bit of a different manifestation of how they behave.
Exactly. And I wanted to mention also, this is something a lot of people don't know. Women often describe after they have sex, the man pulls away. He disappears. He goes on this like rebound, like he has to go watch sports or he has to go out with his boys. And it turns out there's a physiological reason that the cuddling after the sex that releases the oxytocin in men lowers their testosterone. And so the sheer act of pulling away raises the testosterone. Isn't that a fascinating thing? And of course, if you go and watch high contact sports or hang out with your boys, that also helps raise your testosterone?
Well, it actually helps to raise the oxytocin because it's another social contact. It's just a different kind of social
contact. That social contact doesn't lower the T. So if you're, you know, out there with the boys, give them a right, give them a left while you're bonding, but that oxytocin is not diminishing.
I think it's because they're picking up their pheromones from the other guys.
There you go. That makes sense.
So when the boys hang around, their testosterone goes up because of the pheromones they're picking up from each other. So cuddling your wife or your lover is creating extra bonding, and it's calming and relaxing, and it may take a man off his guard if there's danger looming. So, you know, the brain's always switching back and forth, and I think we need a little bit of everything. Obviously, you can't sedate people when it's not time. You have to pick your time and your place. You have to pick a safe space. I find that, you know, if you create a really nice environment, it's safe and you're not worried about, you know, outside intervention, interference, and you let it run the full course. You know, it really improves relationships and bonding, and we feel more loyal. So oxytocin creates feelings of loyalty, bonding, sticking to your team, people of your tribe, as opposed to someone else, because it's a trust thing. So remember, so social animals stick together. And in times of crisis, funnily enough, you can have a big shot of oxytocin in the middle of a big crisis. Let's say a tornado ran through your town, or a bushfire, or major flooding, or, you know, whatever, earthquake. And suddenly, you know, you're left standing, but the houses around you are demolished, and, you know, you can't find people, and that creates a huge stress. So you have oxytocin when you see one person at the end of the street and they're standing up like you are, and they're still there, and you may not even know them. They may be a perfect stranger, but what you want to do, what the oxytocin makes you want to do, is go up and hug them and be their best friend, and, you know, you're alive, you're well, I'm so happy you're alive, because I didn't want to be the only one still standing. So those feelings of bonding, and so the people that survive those major catastrophes end up being very closely bonded afterwards by the stressful event that they've survived. And that's because they've had big floods of oxytocin coming in to create those bonding relationships.
That's interesting too, because if you've noticed that when you're in a life-threatening situation, there's often an instinct to have sex. So it's almost like, I'm so threatened, my body is telling me we need to bond to give me the oxytocin to reverse
sex.
Yeah, really.
It's the end of world scenario, isn't it?
All of those things, right?
Just one before you go.
Yeah, one before. Now, you know, here's another one that people might not think of. I read a study about essential oils, and they had people sniff a control odor that doesn't raise oxytocin. And then they found 7 scents that do raise it: lavender, neroli, jasmine, absolute, Roman chamomile, and clary sage. Absolutely, yes. They raise oxytocin.
Yes, so you could put them in your massage.
Yes, or in your bath. And another thing we don't think of is music. That also has been shown to raise oxytocin.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you share the listening to the music with someone. And so notice when we go out to hear a concert or whatever, we like to go with someone else. We don't feel comfortable going on our own. Why is that? Because of the oxytocin. So we want to be with other people, even if it's just sitting next to them, and you may not even have a conversation, but they're there. They're sharing the experience with you. And so that creates a safe space. We feel more comfortable in those environments if you're with a friend, at least one person, you know. It makes everything much better.
And
you know, when you're in love and you have the heart flutters and you have the infatuation, and, you know, you don't feel like eating because oxytocin happens to dampen the feedback mechanism that you normally would have to eat more.
That's
you
right.
Don't feel like eating at all. So people tend to lose weight when they're in love.
And sugar cravings are the symptom of low oxytocin.
Yes, now, because we become emotional eaters. We're trying to fill a vacuum, like a hole that's there, because we're emotionally deprived of contact with other people, which the oxytocin provides. Then when we have the contact, we have that social connection and that bonding, we feel like the gap is filled and we don't feel like we have to keep eating because there's no vacuum anymore.
Exactly. And vacuuming can lower your oxytocin. It's a real bummer that happens. So sure. Now, also, chocolate increases oxytocin and dopamine. And yes. And vitamin D, vitamin C, magnesium.
It is in the cacao of the chocolate. Yes, right. To avoid the sugary ones. Go the dark bitter.
I like to take just unsweetened chocolate. And then if I want it, I sweeten it with a mixture of allulose and monk fruit, both of which have a zero glycemic index. Yes. Also, fatty fish, mushrooms, peppers, tomatoes, spinach, avocados, a lot of foods can help you raise oxytocin. Yeah.
Yes. And because oxytocin is both a hormone and a neurotransmitter, so that's a protein, and you need magnesium to synthesize protein. So just to make it in the first place, your raw ingredients basically are magnesium. Yeah. So you know, they all work together. And once you've got your magnesium and you've got your essential oils and you've got your safe space and your other social contact people, your good friend, your lover, whoever is going to be your social connection, you know, have a laugh together, watch something funny, because that also releases oxytocin.
Exactly.
Do you remember that movie that where the doctor went around and told jokes to all the patients and they got better faster?
I don't have to watch it. You know, it's funny because I run a lot of online groups, have been doing that for the last 15 years, long before people were being forced to do their work online. And I'm sure the oxytocin levels raise through the emotional communication and the connection. And, you know, just being present and giving undivided attention to other people raises oxytocin. I read a story about that. Well, that's fantastic.
Well, you have to find your tribe. So you can't just do this with everyone. No. You know, you can't force it. There are people you don't get along with, or they may be abusive. And that's not self-caring if you're in that space and someone is abusing you. So you have to love yourself enough to leave a situation which is harmful and be able to recognize it.
Where you don't feel connected. And, you know, so many of these conflicts can be resolved when we take our ego out of it and really listen and get with the other person. So many what we think of as irreconcilable conflicts, disconnection, really can be resolved. This is the time of year, read Kiss Your Fights Goodbye. I don't talk about it much. Another thing that raises oxytocin is acts of charity.
Yes, generosity. And we're more likely to be generous if we have oxytocin. So it's a two-way street.
But you know, when you bow, you feel reverent. When you smile, you feel happy. Sometimes you have to fake it to make it, you know, so do it and the chemicals will shift.
That's true. You know, when I was a teenager, my first part-time job while at school was with Kmart, and they have a really good training process. And I was taught to smile at the end and say, thank you for shopping at Kmart. Sorry about the plug. And I learned then that even if you've got a headache and you don't feel like it and you feel poopy, by making the muscles in your face smile, it sends messages to the brain.
Absolutely.
For the feelings and the hormones to be released to follow the happy feelings. The happy feelings follow the movement of the muscle.
Exactly. Now, this last one really, really fits with the holidays. And, you know, because I live alone, it's so funny. I intuitively, when I cook, think about the people I love and think I'm making this for them. Cooking and eating with someone you care about, if you can eat with someone you care about, but at least cooking with someone you care about in mind. You know, right after Jean left his body, I went out to dinner and you think, oh, well, this was disconnecting. But no, I felt he was dining with me. I felt the connection because our loved ones are with us. We don't see them. Our loved ones in spirit are just a breath away. So at the holiday table, please don't lower your oxytocin. Set a place for your loved ones. Bring them into the holiday meals. It's so important. Connect in every way you can.
Yeah, a friend of mine actually just yesterday told me that someone she knows, very dear to her, their husband in his 80s had some kind of heart condition and went to hospital, just the local hospital, because the bigger one had no room, they're overloaded. And just he needed something to calm down his, I know he had fibrillations or something. He didn't have any other symptoms, but they tested him for COVID. And he didn't have congestion or any phlegm or anything, and he didn't have trouble breathing except for his heart flutters, but they intubated him and he died from the intubation on the machine, and they gave him that end of life drug. And so she's in shock, because that was a marriage of 50 years and they were so very, very close. But she said afterwards, you know, the next day she saw that the handle of her bathroom door in an awkward position it had never been before, and she had the distinct impression he was giving her messages.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, it's love is all around us on the earth, in the spirit plane. And we only have like a second left, Sandy, before we close. I always love having you. Just make sure everybody knows how to find you and how to get electromagnesium.
Yes. So I forgot to mention one thing. Cuddling your cat and petting your dog is great to release oxytocin.
Thank you for remembering.
Yeah, and they need it too. They release.
Thank you. They need it too. My little bird Fluffy used to snuggle with me and preen my eyebrows.
Oh wow! Yes, so that's lovely. So there are sources everywhere you can look for. They're quite easy to get hold of. But anyway, magnesium. You can get magnesium cream, magnesium lotion, magnesium oil spritz. They're all different strengths from electromagnesium.com.au. And there are lots of information, videos, articles. So please come and explore. And if you have any questions at all, please send me an email.
Because you are love personified. And coming from Dr. Love, you got to know it's true. I'll see you next time, everyone. Have a beautiful holiday next week. If you celebrate Christmas, surround yourself with love. See you next time.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.